Raiders face off with Tom Brady and the Bucks under the primetime lights. Listen Sunday with kickoff at 5:15 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLB Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. Scott Gulbranson, Q Myers, your hosts, your guides, through the beautiful land that is known as Raider Nation as we get set for the Raiders and the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday. It's never too early to talk about it. It's never too early to hear from our good friend Q. Here is the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
This Q-tip today comes off the heels of El Paso Raider who called in talking about Colton Miller, and I mentioned that, you know, you never really hear about the offensive line unless they're doing something negative or they're not there, like Trent Brown wasn't there for a while, and, you know, we started questioning his want to and if he was going to be there and be available for the Raiders and what was going on with him moving forward. But I always believe, this has always been my philosophy, that football games are always won in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. And so I do believe, based off of what I remember seeing in that last game that now seems like so long ago since the Raiders have been off a week on their bye week, but after they defeated the Chiefs and you go back and you think about what the defense was able to do in the second half, particularly how they were able to get after Patrick Mahomes, and he had to run so many yards, over 1,000 yards running, just trying to avoid traffic, and still got sacked 3 times by the Raiders defense. I'm looking at this upcoming game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, knowing that he gets the ball out of his hand really quickly, but also knowing that he's not fleet of foot, knowing he's not a guy that's going to be running around that backfield and avoiding Max Crosby, avoiding Cleve Furl, avoiding Arden Key, avoiding Jonathan Hankins. It's not going to go down like that. He's either going to go down or he's going to get rid of the rock really, really quickly. So, and I had a tweet that hit me up and talked about this a little earlier as well. I really believe this could be a big game, man, for the defensive line. I think that those guys could really, if they have that same energy and that same want to that they had in the second half of that Chiefs game, and they get after Tom Brady, it really could be a big day. This really has the potential to be the breakout game for the Raiders defensive line in particular, just because they can get after Tom Brady, make life really uncomfortable for him. And if they do that, they have a really good shot at winning. On the flip side, we saw what Tampa Bay was able to do to Green Bay. They sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times, came up with a couple of interceptions. This is going to be a game that, no doubt about it, is won in the trenches. Offensive line, defensive line. Both units have to step up and play a really, really solid game. If they do that, the Raiders have a shot to win. If they don't, there's not a hope in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I think that the defensive line, what they have the opportunity to do, again, is to make a statement, to come out. And really, I say statement, but at the same time, you're right, Q. They have to. It's not it would be great if they have right. to disrupt him to beat Tom Brady at this point in his career. You have got to do that because he's a smart guy. He can read coverages like nobody else. And if you give him the time, meaning that if you're not pressuring him, if you're not making him uncomfortable in the pocket, he's going to pick you apart. He will dink and dunk you to death. He will do
it. And has no problem with it. Right. And nobody's calling him a dink and dunk quarterback. No, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. His whole career has been that way.
You know, and so many quarterbacks across the league do that as well, by
correct.
The way.
Yeah.
But only one gets
criticized.
The title.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you're right. And that offensive line.
I'm not trying
line,
to start nothing, though.
That offensive line, too, Q, I think especially, I mean, throughout the entire game, but early in that game, for the Raiders to get their offensive scheme moving, meaning you got to have to rush the ball. Like that Buccaneers defense, I'm not making it the 85 Bears, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the way they performed against Green Bay, okay, was phenomenal. And it shows you that they were ready to play. Now, could they be in for a letdown? I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. All I know is they have physical ability. They seem to be getting better each week, and that is the strength of that Buccaneers team. So that those two lines together are going to have to lead this Raiders team and give them the opportunity for the back end on defense to do what it can do. Because I think Tom Brady at this point in his career with the arm strength, he is more susceptible to throwing picks. We saw that as well.
Yeah, I mean, look how many picks he's throwing this season. Look how many pick sixes he's throwing this season. I mean, it's just the reality of it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I do think that Father Time has something to do with it. Nobody has ever defeated Father Time. I don't care how long they play. Eventually, you'll see the wear down, you know? And I think Tom Brady's starting to get there. And I think the Raiders really could take advantage, especially if that offensive line for Tampa Bay can't hold up. You know, and it doesn't hold up better than it has in the past few games. I could totally see that defensive line of the Raiders having just a really good game and really just kind of a breakout game. Like I mentioned, man, Max Crosby could be in for a big one if they can't stop him.
Right. And if they can do that, if they can perform like they did against Kansas City in that second half, you also then might be able to blitz more, you know what I'm saying? Because then you
might not have to, though. Might get home with the front four.
Correct. That's true. And if they do that, and we'll see, we know Mo Hurst was back at practice today. Oh, by the way, got to give that news. Mo Hurst was back, according to our colleague Vinny Monsignor. But at the same time, we don't know about Malik Collins. We'll see if he gets back there. I think that's a guy who really needs to get out there. And I'm not saying he's got to have sacks or anything like that, but if he can show that he's taken a step with the rest of the guys – and he's playing more and maybe not overthinking things like we've been told he might be, that'll be huge for that team too, because you need to get all of those parts clicking and you need to get them all working and showing that the money invested in them, the position invested in them was worth it. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, again, Malik Collins, he was a guy who only came in on a one-year deal, thought that maybe he had a big season or would have a big season and then go in there and get a big-time deal later. But right now he's showing that he's a one-year guy. You know, he's a one-year deal guy, and he hasn't earned anything else. So he's got to start earning his checks.
Yes, he does. Tell us what you guys think. Call us on the Raider Nation hotline. 702-365-9200 is the number. Don't forget, also, follow us on Twitter, the station, RNR920AM, at SilverBlack Today, the number 2 day, then at your boy Q254 if you want to follow Q, which I highly recommend because it's positive. And then also I am at LV Gully, LVGULLY, as we move on and we talk about the Raiders. Q, we look at the Raiders injury report too. We should maybe get some news on Richie Incognito, right? And getting that line back to full strength. I think that's one of the things a lot of fans have been eager is to see this team at almost 100% strength. We know, of course, Damon Arnette with the thumb was out. Now he's double out with the COVID protocol and him being on the COVID reserve list. But overall, we have guys, I think, who are getting healthy. We've had those questions on the defensive line. But on offense, you might get a full offensive line back, plus have all of your position skill players ready to go. That's huge going into that Tampa Bay game.
Well, and have we heard any update on Bryan Edwards? Where is he at?
Yeah, there's been nothing on that. That's the one. And I really think Bryan Edwards is sort of, people talked about Ruggs being out and how that impacted. I think Bryan Edwards being that true X receiver and not being there, it could have been an even bigger day for the Raiders against the Chiefs had he been there. So to get him back, but it's a good question. We'll have to get some detail on that. We'll ask him, we'll inquire with the team and they have to put out the injury report tomorrow anyway, but we'll find out hopefully soon.
Yeah, we'll ask Vinny that. You know, Vinny was at practice.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
maybe he'll have an idea.
Maybe he will, because I know the numbers haven't been huge yet because he hasn't a lot of opportunities. But again, with his size in that position and Ruggs on the field and Waller on the field and Renfro coming in, by the way, the Raiders have been most successful with the three wide receiver sets. If you look at what they've been able to do this season, it's been phenomenal. So that clearly is what they need to do. And with Bryan Edwards healthy, that's what you're going to have to do. And I also want to see what happens this week with Jacobs. I think you need to get him going early and then spell him again with Booker, who looks good, then save him. I like the strategy they used last week with saving some of Jacobs' legs for late in that fourth quarter.
Agreed. And Booker has earned those reps. You know what I mean? He's earned those extra reps anyway. So I'm with you 100%. It's good to have a guy who could spell Josh Jacobs, and you feel like, you know what, he's still a very good back.
Yeah, he is. 4:05 left in the first half out in Buffalo. The Chiefs lead the Bills 13-10. They missed an extra point, actually, the Chiefs did. So 13-10, and looks like it's going to be a seesaw battle, which I expected in the rain, although it looks like it's dissipated a little bit in Buffalo for a big AFC matchup there. Some pretty cool throws and whatnot by Josh Allen already and by Patrick Mahomes. A good game out in Buffalo and Western New York. But Q, when we look at the Raiders too and what they have coming down the line, I really thought that going into last week, you look at past the Buccaneers, you then have the Browns. You got to go to Cleveland. I thought that was going to be a tough game. Now, to your point, all games in the NFL are tough. You got to go win. Okay. It's not, nobody's a pushover. Nobody's a given. And I know people joke about the Jets, but even they are not a given. But you look at that back end of the schedule, it favors the Raiders. And that's why the whole point of your Q-tip saying that this team beating itself is actually the biggest competitor they're going to face. And I really believe that with the schedule so front end heavy as it was.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. When you're a really, really good team, then that's basically who you're facing every week. Is just, you know, if you go out there, and it sounds cliche-ish, but if you know if you go out there and do your job, you're going to have a real good opportunity to win that game. There's a good shot that you're going to win that game. Well, the Raiders, they're still trying to figure that out. They're still trying to get there. And they're getting there more and more. And you saw what they were able to do against Kansas City, but they've got to turn that page. They now have got to be on to Tampa Bay. They can't worry about what happened in Kansas City a couple weeks ago. Now it's all moving forward. And again, just stay out of their own way. Penalties, turnovers, miscommunication, guys being in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, blown coverages, stuff like that. If you go out there and do your job, you're in a good position. The one thing about when guys are in bad positions and blown coverages, it's usually because somebody's trying to overcompensate for the guy next to him because they don't 100% trust that that guy knows how to do his job.
Yeah. I'm interested. What do you think is going to happen on this at the safety position? We saw Heath come in, of course, and play and have the big interception against Kansas City. You have Eric Harris. It might be a question I need to ask in a press conference to see. Paul Gunther should probably be on Thursday, so it'll be a few days away. But just asking what they plan to do there, because Eric Harris, you know, he actually recovered a little bit last week after a couple big errors early in the game against the Chiefs. But he's just a guy proving to be what everyone thought he was, which is a rotational player. He can spell some guys, but he's not the answer as a starter back there. Then leaves you in the position of, what do you do? They're not signing anybody, as we know. They haven't brought anybody in at that position, even for workouts. So that tells me they're going to go with who they have. And, you know, you don't have Tanner Muse coming off, and he's going to play linebacker anyway, from what we're told. So then that leaves you with Jeff Heath.
Yeah, that to me, oh, man. I mean, it's like, I don't want to dog Jeff Heath, and I don't want to dog Eric Harris. I just kind of feel like both of those guys are good rotational pieces, and they obviously need to upgrade at that safety spot. I mean, they really do. And I look and I'm thinking, while you were talking about, you know, guys on the open market, I think if their guy was a really good player on the open market right now, October 19th, he'd probably be on a roster right now. And I know before anyone says that, you know, Earl Thomas is out there, there's a reason Earl Thomas is out there.
Yep.
As much as it would be tempting, because you know that he's a good player, you know what he's done in his course of his career, there's still a reason why he's out there.
No doubt. By the way, the Raiders did work out over the weekend. Former Clemson running back Lamont McFadder. We'll see. It's interesting they brought a running back in, because they have two on the practice squad, right?
Right.
They seem to be in a good spot with Rashard, Booker, and Jacobs. But again, you're always bringing guys in because you don't know what you don't know, and you might have a need for them down the line, and so you're just looking out to see who it is. I think a lot of these workouts, people look at them and say, oh, they're looking at more defensive backs. Well, yeah, it makes sense, because you're one injury away from needing somebody, right? So not much to look into there. But I do think that the Raiders, as they look at depth, you have to continue to do that, because you might not have a need now, and then in 3 weeks somebody goes down, and then you're familiar with a guy who's coming to work out. But that is my biggest concern, actually, on that defense. As long as the defensive line can continue to build and do better as they've done, I'm okay there. It's that safety position. Cornerback's going to be up and down. You got young guys, and I get that. But with the safety position, that worries me as the year goes on and as they face some opponents who might be able to throw the ball against them. And it just seems to be the glaring spot right now.
It is. It really is, you know, and it just kind of is what it is right now. You know, and think about this. As much as everyone loves what Jonathan Abram brings to the table, he's still learning too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he's had good moments. He's had some not so good moments, but he's still learning. And I think now it's safe to say that he's really going to be a good player when he puts it all together. But, you know, each and every week he's just learning a little bit more, and he'll tell you that too. But it's just it is what it is at this point.
All right, there you go. A little bit of wild card Raider talk as we move on. Coming up next after the break, it is 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow. We'll get a report on what Hunter did with his new time off and whether or not it had to deal with getting ready for his new child. We'll find out next. 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. As the Silver and Black today rolls on here on Raider Nation Radio.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back on this Monday. Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Visit them, samandash.com. So we are going to talk in just a moment, Q, with Hunter Renfrow. I got to find out what he did with his time off.
He relaxed.
Yes, well, I hope so. But it's always interesting because, you know, that a lot of folks, I get a lot of DMs, right? And people always have questions for Hunter. I always say, well, you know, send me the question. Oh, I don't really, but I wonder what he does like when he's not playing. And I'm like, well, what do you do if you're not working? Like,
right.
You know, you do what you do. But it'll be fun to figure it out and ask him what that. But I'm real interested to hear his perspective because I'm sure he watched a little bit of the Buccaneers game. But we'll get him ready to go. So we are ready to queue up. Thanks to our friends at the Laborers Local 872. We're getting ready for 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfrow. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfrow. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, exclusively on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, we're back with the slot machine himself, Hunter Renfrow. And Hunter, okay, I got a lot of messages from your fans asking me to ask you, what did you do with the time off, man? Were you, like, shopping for baby stuff, or what'd you do?
No, my wife probably would have liked that. I just hung out and tried to stay safe, you know. We couldn't really go too many places, but I did. I was able to go to dinner one night with my wife, and her dad came into town, and so just hung out with them and played a little golf, and I just got a new like a golf simulator.
Uh-oh.
And from Foresight Sports, and so I've just been grinding on that, and my lower back's hurting a little bit, but I'll make sure it's good for Wednesday's practice.
Hey, we can't let Coach know.
Yeah,
be
about
careful.
To say.
Exactly.
Relax.
And Hunter, I know, did you get to watch any of Trevor Lawrence's first half?
Yeah, I did. I was able to watch the whole game, and I mean, is that not unbelievable?
Oh.
Like, that dude can make every single throw. He's incredible.
I know, and I hear people talk about, well, if it's the Jets, what will they trade? I'm like, are you crazy? I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't trade that first pick for anything.
Yeah. Whatever franchise has a first pick. I mean, they're getting an unbelievable player, and they'd be so dumb to trade that away.
he is a special talent, as is the Clemson program, of course. But Hunter, so we you had the time off. You got to watch some of the other teams, I'm assuming, as well. As you look around the NFL, what's kind of caught your eye overall about what's happening in this strange year where you had no preseason, you had no work up to the year? What have you noticed about just how the league is kind of unfolding so far through 6 weeks?
Yeah. Through the first 5 weeks and going into week six, and you can kind of see people start to separate themselves. But kind of watching yesterday, the big thing I took away from it was that we're as good as any team out there. We feel like we can, I mean, obviously there's really good teams and that sort of deal. And we have to work to be able to be able to play with those guys. But I feel like we have enough talent, and it's just a matter of just going out and practicing hard. And I feel like we have a really good team, and we're confident that we can play with those guys. That was kind of my synopsis of yesterday.
Hunter, sticking with that word confidence that you used right there, the Raiders have obviously had a pretty tough schedule to start the season. Now you're coming off the bye week. How much does, you know, going into the bye at sitting at 3-2, how much does that give you guys as a unit confidence to go the rest of the way now knowing that, hey, man, we played some really tough teams and we did some really good things. Now we could just build on that.
Exactly, yeah. I think everybody we played was at least 500 or better. At least our wins. And so that gives us confidence right there, knowing we've played some of the best in the NFL. But at the same time, we got to go, like I said before, we got to go prove it. And if we can have a good game against the Bucs this week, then I think that will go a long way. Watching that game yesterday between them and Green Bay, you just see how good Tampa Bay is. And so the Saints beat Tampa Bay and earlier in the year, and so we feel like we can stack up and hopefully put a good game together. And if we can beat those guys, it'll give us even more confidence being 4-2.
This is 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, you talk about that Buccaneers defense, especially some of those cornerbacks like Lavonte Davis, Murphy Bunting. Some of those guys have really turned it up and look good. What did you see that you're going to face out there come Sunday at Allegiant Stadium?
Yeah. And Carlton Davis, I mean, just really good, but really young. I think the majority of them are 3 years or younger, in their third year or younger, in the secondary. And so they're going to play with a lot of hunger, a lot of passion, just like we are. I mean, we are a fairly young team too. And so you have a lot of guys that really just want to go out and make the plays and very aggressive. And so they have a really good defense. And like you said, the secondary, even though they are young, they're also, I feel like, pretty experienced. And you can see how they played against Green Bay to show how talented they are. And so we're going to have a really good game plan. And if we can do that, hopefully we'll find some success.
How much better can you guys be offensively? Because right now you guys look like you're really good offensively, but I know coaches always try to make their unit better. They try to continue to grow and grow and grow. How much more can this offense grow?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We have a long way to go. We're in no means finished product, and we're in no means where we want to be. Unless we go out and score every single time we get the ball, that's where we want to be. And so I think something we can do a better job. And last year, we didn't do a great job of scoring in the red zone, scoring touchdowns in the red zone, our red zone offense. And so that's been a big emphasis. And so while field goals are good, I think the next step for us offensively is, like we've talked about in the past, staying efficient, staying in front of the chains. And so we don't have the third and longs. And then when we get in the red zone, to be able to put touchdowns instead of field goals, even though I know Daniel Carlson likes to kick field goals and pad his stats, but we got to definitely score some more touchdowns when we get down there.
And you look at this game coming in, Hunter, and again, it's just your third game at Allegiant Stadium. You guys are 1-1, dropping the one game to the Bills. But you want us to, you want to establish home field advantage, right? I know there's no fans there now, or it would help significantly. But when you guys think about this game, I mean, it's big for so many reasons. But part of it is setting the tone so that when people come to Las Vegas, they know that you're not going to be a pushover. Does that cross your guys' mind very often when you guys are talking about prep for the game?
Not really. I mean, I'd like to say yes, but I mean, it doesn't matter where we play, and we can go play in a parking lot, and we expect to play to a standard that we set in practice. Whether there's fans, no fans, it doesn't matter. We have a standard that we want to achieve, but at the same time, you do kind of think long term. Yeah, you want to have. I mean, when I was at Clemson, we won pretty much every game at home, and so you want to have that with your team, kind of associated with your team. And it's hard, too, because fans do such a great job, and I know Raider Nation does such a great job of creating that environment. And whenever you have an empty stadium, it's you don't really get that as much. And so I think it would be good to, obviously, to be over 500 by the time fans get there next year. And then I know Raider Nation will help us as soon as we get in there and they're able to cheer and give us that home field advantage.
Hunter, where did that approach and that style come from where you mentioned just a minute ago, we'll play anyone in the parking lot, it doesn't matter, we'll play anywhere. We've had multiple players on, we've had coaches on, and everyone says the same thing. Is that starting with the big man? Is that starting with John Gruden? Is that something Mike Mayock has established? Is that something that just is the word around the facility?
Yeah, I think yes. I think both of those guys, and Mayock and Gruden and, of course, Derek as well. I mean, we were out there in the park all summer, and it didn't matter if we were in a nice NFL facility or out at wherever park, you know. We have a standard like we talked about, and it's kind of like all these people going and working from home, right? They're sitting, the boss still expects the work to be done and expects the standard that they wanted. And so it doesn't matter where it is, and it's just a different job for us, I guess.
Does playing a guy like Tom Brady, I mean, he's one of the best to play the game, does that give you guys even a little more motivation? I know you're on offense, but knowing that you can be on primetime television against somebody of that caliber and then show the rest of the world how you guys play and how you feel and believe that you're right there with anybody else.
Yeah, I think obviously watching what they did to Green Bay, we feel like that this is a great opportunity for us because they're playing like one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And Tom Brady has been so – I mean, he's been the standard for so long and been so good for so long that, yeah, I mean, absolutely raises your game. It would be cool. I know we beat Drew Brees and the Saints. We beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs so far. So those are really two good quarterbacks. And if we can string another one together and beat Tom Brady here, then that's a really good resume for our defense. And then we take pride in that as offense as well because it's field position, it's special teams, it's defense. We're all working together to achieve the same goal.
How difficult and how taxing, maybe mentally really, has this season been dealing with COVID-19, having no fans in the stands, just having to adjust your whole lifestyle? You mentioned just barely getting to go out to dinner with your wife at the beginning of the interview. Just how mentally draining is that?
I think you can look at it as a mentally draining time, but you can also, there's good in everything, and I feel like maybe things happen for a reason and you can slow down, and the more kind of complicated things get, the simpler they get. And so it's been a kind of trying year for everyone, but it's been good in a lot of ways as well. I mean, you go out there, and you don't have to worry about all that stuff when you get in the field. It's kind of like you're on sanctuary, right? And then when you get home, you don't have the option to go all these other places. You can just hang out with your wife and hang out with your family and be able to look at a game plan and not have all these things pulling at you. And so in a lot of ways, it's distracting, but you can make it a good thing. And I think the guys on our team have done that, and that's why we're able to have some success. And hopefully we'll continue to do that and string some more together.
So, Hunter, how's the chatter going between you and the Alabama guys like Henry Ruggs on the team? with Clemson?
Because
it's a collision course, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen. We know what the national championship game is going to be.
Yeah, it's like every year, us in Alabama. I mean, we're good right now. We're just, we won't start the trash talk until probably December, January. Make a couple bets.
I was going to say, some wagers, right? Some fun wagers?
Yeah, Foster Moreau beat me last year with LSU in the national championship, so that was fun.
Yeah, but now you can give it back to him because LSU is having trouble this year. So he's
exactly.
poor Foster on that one. But it's a strange year in college football. But the two top teams are without question the two top teams. So it'll be fun to watch. As always, Hunter, thanks, man. Good luck in the game on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Let's get a win. Let's do it.
There you go. Hunter Renfroe.
Nice.
13 minutes with Hunter Renfroe, brought to you by the local 872. And Q, always good to talk to him, and good fun. And you love the focus. And like you said, you picked up on it. I think we pick up on it every time we talk to somebody that plays currently. And that is the language, what they say about going to play anybody in a party. All that stuff is right on cue, which tells you it's the mindset internally.
Right, exactly. I just, you know, kind of wanted to take a deep dive into it because, you know, I don't think that every organization or every team feels the same way, even though I think they should. But it all depends on how you establish that in your locker room, how you establish that with your team and your organization. That's what the mantra should be and the mentality be, but it's not always like that. You look across the league, you think the Jets are talking about we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime? Don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think
half the team wants to show up.
No, I don't think they know where they're going to be playing next week either.
Right.
All right, we're going back on the phone lines. Our man, Gangster Raider, what's up on this Monday, buddy?
Hey, what's happening? I want to give a shout-out to two players who stepped up, who one surprised me. The first one is LaMarcus Joyner. Mm-hmm. He surprised me because I thought he was a weak link on our team along with Eric Harris. But these last few weeks, he showed improved and stepped up and shockingly surprised me. And the second player I want to give a shout-out to is Trent Brown because he came back. He played 100% of the snaps, and I think he was the only player that made the other players stick their chest out. They're like, oh, the big homie back? Like, you know, Q, if you ever been, you know, get ready to go squab some other fools, and then you see you got the big homie with you, you get a little more pumped up. You get a little more active. You get a little more adrenaline going. So I think Trent Brown coming back, I think that helped Derek Carr play like how he played because he's like, I ain't got no excuse. Big Trent Brown is back. He playing every snap. I got to get it going. You know what I'm saying? And also, I want to say, look at our schedule. I say, other than Tampa Bay and maybe Indianapolis and one of the Charger games, they're the only games we got to worry about. We got one winless team on our schedule and a couple of one-win teams. And I want to get ahead of ourselves, but look at our schedule. I think we was going to go, I think I said 10-64. I want to take it to 12-4 or maybe 13-3. What you think, Hugh?
I think that's a lofty goals, you know, and it's possible. Hey, look, I mean, anything's possible. You saw what happened in 2016 when the Raiders went 12-4. All you need to do is get on a streak, and anything's possible. I'll just say that some of those winless teams or those one-win teams, those are the ones that scare me to death. You know what I mean, Scott? Because they're really backed up against the wall, and they're in the corner, and nobody wants to go 0-for. Absolutely not. So they're the dangerous ones, too. So you just got to take it, like I say, man, one week at a time. But you could look up at the end of the season and say, damn, 12-4, that was awesome. 13-3, that was great. You know, all you got to do is get hot at the right time.
I don't know. I'm just kind of bummed because Gangster Raider never asked me what I think. He only asked you what you think.
That's the homeboy.
Well, and then he said, like, I've never been around a big homie. Come on.
I mean, I don't know if you have.
It's all good. I love you, Gangster Raider. Just giving you crap. That's what makes us awesome is our differences, and we can celebrate those. All right, we're going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, Sam and Ash will join us, and we'll take the topic du jour and talk about it with you, and hopefully maybe sneak in a few phone calls towards the end of the
show. Ask them if they've been around the big homie.
We will. We'll ask them.
They might have had to defend a couple big homies.
I bet, yeah. We could. We'll ask them. That'll be the first question.
That'll be my question.
All right, there you go. See? You're set.
Exactly.
You're pressed. That's what separates us is the
preparation. That's why Gangster Raider, he came through like the first of the month for me. He hooked me up.
There you go. All right. You're listening to Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio. All right, we're back here on Silver and Black today. We're going to go right back on the phones. Sam and Ash are coming up soon here in just a few minutes. But first, we go out to our man H in Albuquerque. What's up, H?
Hey, thanks for the enthusiastic intro, Scott.
Of course, brother.
Hey, you know, Q, you said something on your Locked On episode today that was kind of on my mind. And you said the Raiders had to play week to week. And I was thinking that as I was watching some games, like some of those games caught me by surprise, like that blowout that Tampa put on the Packers really surprised me. And I realized the league is a week-to-week league right now. You can't look ahead, you know.
Right.
As fans, we're tempted to look ahead at the schedule, like the previous caller just says, 13-3. And right. like I said before, it's like, yeah, we had a huge win against Kansas City, but you can't look ahead and say, oh, we beat Kansas City, therefore we can beat Baltimore because Kansas City beat Baltimore and so on and so forth.
Right.
We're not running the table. We're going to lose some games we expect to win. That's just the way it goes. So you just got to play each week. And like Del Rio used to say, and I like this a lot, he used to say, respect everyone but fear no one. And that's just the way we got to play. But that's the way we got to look at it.
Agreed. No, that was a great call. And, yeah, that's what this NFL is, man. And it's crazy because you could think about college. And, Scott, this is perfect. Could we just talk to Hunter Renfrow? You can go and watch Clemson play and have a 99.9% chance to say, okay, they're going to win this game. Just like we could fast forward and say, oh, it's going to be Clemson and Alabama at the end. We could pretty much be spot on. Now, something might happen squirrely, but not really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in the NFL – that's not the ball game, man. You have to literally take each and every week as they come because any team can knock you off. And I've always said, and I'll even go back to Derek Carr's rookie year, any team, I don't care if you're undefeated or not, can win a game. The undefeated or the team that hasn't won yet is the scariest team on the schedule because they're the hungriest. And that's what the Raiders did to the Chiefs in his rookie year. I think it was week 10. That's when the league was introduced to who Latavius Murray was and just went out there and gave the Chiefs the business and got Derek Carr and company the first win of his career. So, I mean, you could always lose and you could always win. It's all about that game that day.
Well, and I got into an exchange online with somebody this weekend yesterday. I said, hey.
Did they call you a name?
No, they did not. No, it was respectful. Okay. It was respectful. Okay. But they said, because I said, hey, the Raiders are going to have a tough sledding against the Buccaneers. They're going to have to really go out and they have another opportunity to earn respect. And like, what do you mean? They didn't earn respect beating the Chiefs? I'm like, yeah, that was last week. It's a 17-week season.
Right.
You have to do it every single week, including on the national stage. So that's what the Raiders are going to have to do with Tom Brady coming in here. All right, we now bring on our good friends, Sam and Ash. Of course, Sam and Ash power this show, Silver and Black, today. Make sure you call them, 702-820-1234, because you always deserve what is right. So we bring on Sam and Ash, and guys... We are now just again we're back to having football in Las Vegas on Sunday with the Raiders coming in against Tom Brady. People are getting excited. It's going to be a big game here. There's nothing better than a big game or a big fight or a big event in Las Vegas. Are you guys ready? Are you already making plans?
I'm ready. I am very ready for this game.
I'm looking at Ashley. I can tell you she is ready for this.
On, guys.
You have what? You have eye black?
The eye black, you
nice.
Know, under my eyes.
That would be awesome.
I'm ready for it.
Well, that, yeah, see, you're a gamer. That's why.
You rocking all that week. All week?
She all comes week. To work that way.
All
that's
week.
When it's real.
It's a
that's when you know it's real.
So, for our clients.
So Ash rolls into court, and the judge is like, counselor, why are you wearing eye black?
Tell him, you know what time it is.
Exactly. Your Honor, if you don't know why I'm wearing eye black, you need to dismiss this case.
Exactly.
By the way, guys, is this the one time of the year where people don't think you advertise too much because of all the political ads? Like,
oh my gosh, such a great question.
Because you guys, are you getting like the text messages and the phone calls like the rest of us?
I mean, not really, but it's the worst time of year, and it's, you know, we're a purple state. We're a state where both sides are fighting for the other. And so the political ads are outrageous. Plus every single judge is running for reelection.
Yeah.
And so you got all the local races. So every time I wake up in the morning, I look at the TV, it's just one political ad after another. I don't know about you guys. I'm so over it. So I'm ready for the second week of November and and getting back to just seeing, you know, PI lawyers, PI lawyer ads.
There you go.
Good old days.
That'll work. Speaking of, I got to ask you this, and this comes based off of a call that we had a little earlier from Gangsta Raider, and he was talking about Trent Brown. He called him the big homie. Have you guys ever had to represent a guy that you considered big homie? Or maybe had the nickname
Ashley,
Big Homie?
That question's all yours.
I've got a lot of big homies in my client list, actually. all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, we love real people and representing real people. And so sometimes having a moniker like that just means that you're a legitimate person and you're a normal guy. And by the way, everyone deserves justice, and everyone, right. You know, can get hurt out there, and everyone can get screwed by the insurance company. So don't let it happen to you, and hire Ashley with her blackout, her raccoon eyes, and she'll, you know, she'll fight for you.
Now, are you guys either of you Dodger fans?
I'm a fan of Dodger dogs, not necessarily the Dodgers. I'm an
another
Angel
name
fan.
For Rocky.
No, look, being raised in Southern California, I was always an Anaheim Angels fan. They're now the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and I'm still a fan of them. But you know, there's some nostalgia. There's a little bit more history with the Dodgers, and so I've always loved going up to Chavez Ravine and enjoying a game and a Dodger dog. But when it comes down to it, I'm an Angels fan.
Okay, so then the question has to be, Ashley, what do you put on your hot dog?
Oh, I'm a mustard, and I mean, yeah, a mustard and just onions and just enjoy it. I think ketchup's a little too sweet, but then it also, you know, it's the precursor to social distancing when you do that.
Well,
it's a great way to guarantee 6 feet.
See, I'm originally from Chicago, where ketchup on a hot dog is illegal. Like, I would have to call you for representation if I put ketchup on my hot dog, because there would be a citizen's arrest. You don't put ketchup on hot dogs.
And the same
same goes in New York. Now, Q, do you put ketchup on your hot dogs?
No, I don't eat hot dogs. Hot dogs are for kids. I eat hot links.
Now we're back to... Oh, now we got another poll. Now we got a poll question.
That's fine.
Those are fighting words, Q. They're fighting words.
We had...
Hey, well, you got the eye black on already.
Well, we had Pop-Tarts already. By the way, Sam and Ash are our guests here on Silver and Black today. Hot dogs for kids. So
they're kids. That's what you appease a kid with, a child with. A hot dog. I eat hot links.
Oh, my God. Okay, what do you put on your hot links then? What do you put on your hot links, tough guy?
Barbecue sauce.
What?
Sometimes mayonnaise. I mean, everything. I like it sloppy and greasy.
Sloppy and greasy. Oh, boy.
What greasy.
Greasy with a Z.
With a Z.
Gotcha.
It's different.
It is different. Sam, what about you? You a hot dog guy or no? Are you with Q and think it's only for 12-year-olds?
I must be a kid. I feel youthened now. I'm a total hot dog guy. But I love them at ball games. Like, it's a ball game food.
Yes.
You get a hot dog and you get a beer. I mean, that's what you do. Especially like on a hot day.
His kids also get a hot dog and a beer too.
It's true. They're European.
That's right. They're European. But see, San Diego, we do fish tacos.
Well, that sounds good.
At the ball games, they're good.
Oh, at the ball game?
The Padres.
Oh, you're bougie.
Yeah.
That's so bougie.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're more focused on the tacos than they are on winning.
It's Mexican street food. What are you talking about?
Well, I'll go get the Mexican street food from the Mexican street. I don't need it at the ball game.
All right, so Tom Brady, guys, coming in with the Buccaneers. Are you excited about? Are you guys Tom Brady fans? Do you just respect? Like, I'm not a fan, but I respect. I mean, any profession, somebody who accomplishes that much, you have to have respect for, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a fan. I don't fangirl over Tom Brady, but I have to respect someone that just consistently has proven himself season after season for such a long time.
Yeah, he definitely. But we'd like to see the Raiders, though, send him packing and have his only trip. Well, he might. Well, no, this will be his only trip to Las Vegas. So as a player. So we want to send him.
He'll
packing.
Be back for a fight.
So we can have
two.
A victory Monday. Because you guys, you know, you're always so good about representing your clients, and victory always seems to be near you guys. We hope to talk to you next week on a victory Monday, and then we'll get your reaction to that. But we always appreciate you guys spending time on and backing me on my poll questions, this time with hot dogs.
Oh, hot dogs forever.
Hot dogs for life.
Unbelievable.
All right, there's Sam and Ash. Guys, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys.
Thanks,
Victory
guys.
Monday. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
Take
Sounds
care.
Good. There's Sam and Ash. Make sure you check them out, samandash.com. Always fun. So Pop-Tarts and hot dogs, dude. I'm sending you like a box.
That's cool. I got kids. They'll eat them.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. So much fun. Just a sidetrack. The hot links, though. What kind of hot links are you eating? Like the Earl Campbell?
Earl Campbell's are great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good hot links, though. I mean, we have so many, especially here in Texas. Of course, there's so many brands.
Oh, I'm sure.
And you throw them on the grill. You know, just hook them up, man. Put them in the frying pan. Just get them bad boys cooking.
We need to start getting some food sponsors, because last week, you see, I forgot his handle now. I was talking about, he went, and because we were talking about brisket, he went out and he smoked brisket.
Oh, yeah. That's my guy. That was Raider Loke.
Oh, Raider Loke. That's who it was. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Are hot dogs for kids, though? 702-365-9200. Yes. We got like two minutes left.
They're absolutely for kids.
I don't know, man. Yeah, like Oscar Mayer, but there's good. Like you're talking about like Hebrew National or Nathan's hot dogs or Vienna hot dogs.
I don't care if you're talking about Nathan's. I don't care if you're talking about Tom's. I don't care if you're talking about Chris's, Donald's, or Russell's. They're all for kids.
Well, then why do they have the hot dog eating contest and it's adults?
Because they're a bunch of grown-ass kids that are stuffing themselves with nasty hot dogs. They ain't got no business doing. Okay, okay. And I watch it every year faithfully.
What about peanut butter and jelly?
I don't know. I haven't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in years. Again, I like to eat grown-up food.
I'm just throwing it all out there now, man.
Yeah, you are. Can I get a peanut butter and jelly?
Popsicle?
No.
No? No popsicles.
Oh, I'll eat a Choco Taco.
Oh, now that's my favorite.
Or a malt. Like I like milkshakes, but I'm lactose in it, so it messes with my belly.
Yes. Do you remember back before you knew that was a problem, the chocolate malt you get at the ball games?
Yeah.
The malt with the wooden spoon?
Mm. Yep. Oh, yeah, those were good. My dad used to take me to Baskin Robbins, and I'd get a chocolate malt, but I'd get it made with vanilla ice cream. It was perfect. Oh. That's how he taught me.
Nice. There you go. See, everybody's got their thing. Yep. Baskin Robbins, man. Peanut butter and
that
chocolate.
That used to be my get down.
Peanut butter and chocolate. To me, that's where
I'm more simple, man. I'm a simple dude, man.
Just vanilla?
I like vanilla, but I like to use chocolate syrup. And then I like cappuccino blasts, too. Those things give me a lot of energy.
Now, chocolate syrup you shouldn't have unless you're under 12.
Why?
That's for kids.
That's how you make chocolate ice cream. Because vanilla is way better than chocolate ice cream. Way better. Way better.
Vanilla soft serve cones from Dairy Queen. There you go.
All right, whatever. I can split the difference, I guess.
I'm just throwing the kitchen sink at you. All right, well, as always, thank you guys for being with us today. Q, we'll get back at it tomorrow. We start to look ahead at the Buccaneers. And I'm really excited for this game. I think it's going to energize the fan base and really give the Raiders the opportunity to take that next step, which I think they're ready to take, and I think they have the ability to do.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a big game. You know, I think that the next run, I mean, now that the bye week's over, it's each and every week till the end of the season. You know what I mean? Like, every game is the next big game.
Yes, it is. And we will – I do know that at the press box at Allegiant Stadium, they serve hot dogs. So I'm going to put you in touch with the catering folks and let them know –
I'll get some nachos or something, but I ain't getting no hot dogs.
And let them know they should not be serving us hot dogs because we ain't kids.
They serve hot dogs at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium.
Yeah.
They serve them during halftime, and I don't eat them.
No?
Nope. It's ridiculous. I look at a bunch of grown kids running around the press box.
They also serve Red Vines, M&Ms, and Sour Patch Kids.
Those are definitely for kids, but I'm not a candy guy, though.
Yeah.
I like Reese's, and that's about it.
That's about it. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Q, as always, fun to mix it up and figure it out. And we do it sometimes on the fly, but it's all good.
That's right.
And we'll be back tomorrow to talk more Raiders football. We take a look ahead at the Buccaneers, and we take your calls. You're always a part of the show here on Raider Nation Radio. For Bobby Machado, for Q Myers, I am Scott Gabranson. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.